Good morning. And better yet, happy April Fool's Day. Pretty exciting to be here. Just kidding, April Fool, no. But I'm excited that you chose to come out and worship with us here today on Easter Sunday. This is, like my wife was saying, this is a day of victory. This is the event that Christianity hinges on. Have you ever thought about that? This is the resurrection is the moment in Jesus' life. It is the moment in the story of the Bible. It is the moment in human history that all of Christianity hinges on. You disprove the resurrection, you can disprove Christianity. This is the Super Bowl of our faith. So today we praise victoriously, and we are victorious over sin because Jesus is victorious on Easter morning, on Resurrection Sunday, over death and hell and the grave. So that's what we come together today to celebrate, and I am excited that you chose to come out and do that. That is important enough to you to come and to say thank you, to say we love you, to say we are because you did. We have conquered because you have conquered. So I want you to join me in a word of prayer, and then I'll go ahead. This is the portion of the service where we crack open the Word of God and we see what He has for us today. So let's pray. Father God, we come humbly today before your throne, before an empty tomb on an early Easter morning, where the women go to the tomb and find it empty, find the stone rolled away, and they go back and they tell the men, and the men come running, and one man stops at the entrance, and Peter runs in to find that his Lord is risen, that his Lord is gone, and he rises up and he runs to that tomb, and he walks away marveling after what has happened. So Lord, today we marvel at the resurrection, and we declare victory over sin and death and hell and the grave by the blood of Jesus, nothing more, nothing less. Thank you, Jesus. This is what we praise you for, victory on Easter morning. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. I ask, Lord, that you will meet us here in truth and in grace, and as your Holy Spirit, that you will guide my mind and my tongue and the hearts of each person here. Father, I pray that you will do work in all of our lives today by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Here at One Life Church, we have a very simple mission. A very simple mission that we have outlined in one sentence. We exist to make and to guide fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We exist to make and to guide fully devoted followers of Christ. We don't make people Christians. God does that. We assist in making people learn to follow Jesus more and more day after day, to grow and mature in their faith. Whether you are new to the faith or you are seasoned in the faith, we're here to help, and this is what we do. We are about that for you. We keep it simple, and we keep it simple in all that we do because Scripture teaches us, just like we talk about today, it's very simple. Jesus was crucified on Friday, and he rose from the dead, empty tomb on Sunday, and we celebrate that. We come together, and through Scripture and through song and through just presentation of the Word and through testimony, we simply proclaim nothing more, nothing less than Christ crucified. Our church can't save you. No church can save you. No preacher can save you. I am nothing more than an instrument, nothing more than a conduit, nothing more than a willing voice called by God to come and say, here's what Jesus did. I don't really particularly care if you know my name. What I care is that you know the name of Jesus and what he's done for you. This is my goal, to humbly and boldly proclaim the truth of Christ crucified. today and every day. And the reason is that's the most important thing that you can learn in this life, bar none. You can do a lot of great things in this life. You can have a great career. You can make a lot of money. You can have a wonderful family. You can be very successful in this life. But if you miss this one thing, you've missed everything that matters. The only thing that matters. That's our invitation to you today. Here in a little bit, we're going to open the altars. I'll just tell you right up front. Here in a little bit, we're going to open the altars. And we're going to give you that opportunity to come and to bow before Jesus as Lord and Savior. So I put that bug in your ear right now because I believe that God has a purpose for you. I believe that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. And the most important thing to me is that you encounter him, not just today, but someday before the end of your life. That's the most important thing. So I pass on to you the most important thing that was ever passed on to me and that can ever be passed on from person to person or generation to generation, that is Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said that he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day. And while raised from the dead, he walked and he talked and he ate and he drank and he found his way into rooms that were locked. He could come and go as he pleased like a ghost, but yet he was flesh and blood. And that he appeared to the Apostle Peter, the famous Apostle Peter, and to the 12, the other apostles, and then to 500 others all at one time, but they could see that he had risen from the dead. Peter was the one that I mentioned in my prayer. Peter, when he heard from the women that the tomb was empty and the stone was rolled away, that he ran with another disciple and got outran by that other disciple, and that disciple stopped at the entrance of the tomb, but Peter went running on in. He rose when he heard, and he ran to the tomb to find out and see the testimony and see if it's true what the women had said. And the Scripture says he went home marveling at what had happened. Marveling. This is amazing. What does this mean for what's to come? When Peter heard what had happened, when he saw the empty tomb, he marveled. My question to you is, hearing and knowing on this Easter morning that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave victoriously 3 days later, how do you respond? How do you respond? How do you respond? What about your life is affected and influenced by that truth? How do you respond to the invitation of Jesus to come? The invitation of Jesus to be forgiven, the invitation of Jesus to extend grace in your direction, that no matter how ugly your painting is, that it can be just as white in the end in that video by the blood of Jesus Christ, as he washes you clean. How do you respond? Because we all have a choice, don't we? We all have a choice in this life once we hear the truth. Now you go out there and you know we can debate and we can argue and we can feel bad for people who live their entire life and never hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, can't we? It might break your heart to think maybe there are people groups across the world who have never heard the truth of the gospel. We pray for them. We send missionaries to them. And we say, this is God in the flesh. We break our heart for those people. But what about the person who goes to church their entire childhood or their entire life and hears the message year after year, week after week, so much that it's almost just in one ear, out the other? Oh, yeah, it's Easter. Oh, yeah, Jesus did that, right? I heard about that. Yeah, he was born at Christmas. He died at Easter. They said he was 33, but that seems like a short lifespan. What's going on here? If you've heard the gospel, you have a choice to respond. You have a mandate to respond. You have no option but to respond. And the response is to ignore and go about your way. Or the response is to bow before your Creator and be washed clean and have life to the full and the hope of heaven. We praise God for that victory over sin today. Just like in the song that we just listened to, some will call it foolish, some will call it impossible. Some will say, oh, how awesome is it that Easter morning landed on April Fool's Day this year? Ha! Empty grave. That's the best April Fool's joke that you could have ever told. Thank you, calendar, right? Thank you, whoever decides where Easter lands. Some will call it foolishness. Some will say you are a fool for believing in something that is absolutely impossible. It is absurd. It is ridiculous that a man can, not only that a man can go through the brutal death of crucifixion, and the Romans were experts at killing people with the cross. Sometimes upwards of 2,000 people a day would die on the cross, the most brutal death that could ever be thought of. There is no question that the Romans were really good at killing people by crucifixion. So they look at that and say that if Jesus went through this crucifixion and he died, it is impossible and it is foolish to believe that on the third day he walked out of that tomb. People will tell you that it's impossible, that it can't happen. But the Bible addresses this. The Bible addresses this. The Bible makes it clear and makes it aware, obvious to us that for the non-believer, for those who have not heard and received the Spirit of God, have not bowed before the King, that it will look foolish, that it will appear to be foolish. The 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the word of the cross is folly, it is foolish to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. We have power, we have victory because Jesus is victorious. We serve a supernatural God. It is a supernatural faith that we believe that Jesus took our sins to the cross and because of his victory, I'm washed clean. Yeah, have you been there? Have you had the doubts? Have you had the moments where you hear a song or you hear a sermon and you think, that guy's nuts? Or you hear this little piece, there's no way that happened. But I challenge you with that today, because the Bible says that if you seek God, you will find him. I challenge you, if you have never cracked open your Bible and said, okay, God, if this is truth, show me. Okay, God, if you're really in this, if you really did what the preacher said you did, change my heart. Change my heart. And I can promise you, because God promises you, that if you seek after him in that way, you're going to find him. And I promise you, that if you bow and confess before the Lord, he will forgive you because he's faithful to do so. He said it, not me. And he welcomes you into the best life you can live. And it all starts by bowing before him and confessing your sins to him. And that having power over sin, because Jesus is more than just our Savior. He's more than just our Messiah. He's more than just God in the flesh that went to the cross. He's so many things, so many names, so many truths, so much grace. He's also our rescuer. He is our rescuer. God sent Jesus into the world to die in our place and rescue us from where we were destined to be, from where our sins were sending us, where we are making the choice of hell, and we choose hell day after day after day. But it is miraculous when we bow before the King and we lay all of our sins out before God, and he is faithful to forgive them. You and I can have victory over sin and death by the blood of the cross. The world may say that it's foolish. The world may say that it's impossible. But I'm telling you right now, from personal testimony and from Scripture and the testimony of everyone else here, that it is the very power of God is the peace and the grace and the joy and the victory that you can have in every area of your life. That it will become hope for this life and for the next. This is my invitation for you today. What does the believer have through faith? Why would I want to be a believer? Why would I want to walk with God? Why would I even care? What's in it for me? Romans 5, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's just sit there for a second. Through him we have also, through Christ, we have obtained access by faith. So we're saved by grace through faith. We believe that Jesus did what he did. Can you outright, downright, to the facts, prove what Jesus did? No. It's by faith. If you can absolute, down to the point, prove Jesus did what he did, you don't need faith anymore. See what I'm saying? It is by grace through faith, and our faith is a gift from God that we then place on Jesus, that we believe in Jesus, and he's our anchor, he's our rock. So we obtain, by faith, we obtain access to grace. Grace. Do you know what grace is? Do you know how awesome grace is? When we're teenagers and we get in trouble and we do something that we know is going to upset our parents, what are we looking for when they find out? We want some grace. We're like, come on, Dad. Give me another chance, right? I know I messed up, but I just need another chance. Please don't take the car keys from me, right? Come on. I need another shot at this. Grace is endless, boundless, unmerited favor for us, the sinners. That it doesn't matter how ugly your life has been, it doesn't matter how many mistakes you made, it doesn't matter what it looks like, because it only takes one little white lie, one little white sin to separate us from God. The wages of sin is death, and it only takes one, because you can't get into heaven. You don't have access to God unless you are sinless and perfect and righteous and holy. And I can't do that myself. I've tried. It's hard work. In fact, I probably shouldn't even be trying as hard as I am, because it's grace. It's unmerited favor that once we accept by faith the covering of Jesus' blood on my heart and on my sin, then now when God looks down at me, he doesn't see that ugly painting. He doesn't see the old black messed up sheet metal. He sees pure white. Can't see any of it, because you know what the pure white is? It's Christ. That's his perfection, his holiness. So that when God looks down at you as a believer covered in grace, he sees Jesus. Now, I don't know what your life looks like, but I ain't got no chance without God seeing Jesus. I got no chance. So that when I get to the gates of heaven someday, with the hope of glory, with hope, and I step up there and I'm hoping, all right, this is my last chance, God. Can you let me into heaven? Won't you please let me into heaven? You know what I'm gonna be pleading? I can't walk up in there and start pleading, let me tell you how good I was at church. Let me tell you, I was a pastor. Every week I stood up and I read the Bible and I told people what I thought it said. If I got it right, would you let me in? You know? Or you, let me tell you how many homeless people I fed. Or let me tell you how many orphans I left sleep at my house. Or let me tell you how many widows I hung out with. Or let me tell you how many checks I wrote to these ministries. And you plead that with God. No, I'm not going to plead that. I'm going to plead nothing more than the blood of Christ victorious on Easter morning. That Jesus is victorious. But here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing about grace. Not only do I have that awesome covering of Christ as a Christian, and you do if you're a Christian, and you can today if you're not a Christian today, but it's not just me standing there before God with maybe St. Peter's hanging out there. It's Jesus standing there saying, hey, God, I got this one. Isn't that cool? It's Jesus pleading your case before his Father. You are not going to find a better teammate in that debate. You have no shot. I want Jesus in my corner at the pearly gates. And I have hope and faith, and I rejoice this morning that he is. I declare that to you, and I pray you're declaring that in your heart today. So that's what we have. We have faith, and we have peace, and we have grace, and we rejoice that heaven is our reward. Do you declare that today on this Easter morning? Do you declare that in your heart? Christ was crucified because he loves sinners. Here's the rest of that passage, starting on verse 6. For while we were still weak, this is how much Jesus loves you. Okay? No matter where you're at, this is how much Jesus loves you. And this is how much, let's be honest, this is how much Jesus knows the truth of what's in your heart and what's in your past and your present and your future. This is how much he knows. And he still loved you enough to go through all of that torture, all of that pain, and rise victorious on Sunday morning. This is how much he loves you. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would maybe dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still sinners, while God knew who you would be, while God knew the choices you would make, while God knew that you would day after day after day say no to him and say yes to the world, say no to him and say yes to worldly pursuits, say no to him and say yes to ungodly pleasures, and say no to him and say yes to wealth and pursue things that are not having his presence in. He said that you're choosing things of this world rather than him, and you're choosing the sin. While you were still pursuing after things that were not of him, while you were saying, no, God, you're second or you're third or you're fourth or you're not even on my radar, while you hated God that much, he died for you. Truth. That's the truth. He died for you. But since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. This is the pleading on my case at the gates of heaven, because I deserve hell aside from Jesus. For if, while we were enemies, key word, enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Praise God. Call it grace. Call it victory. Call it unmerited favor from God. Call it I was bought with a price. call it, I was purchased on Calvary. My soul was purchased because Jesus loves me. Ephesians 1:7 says, He, God, is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. Wow. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. And you thought God was mean, scary, didn't care about His people, just created Adam and Eve and spun the world and pulled back. And that's why there's all this pain and suffering in the world, right? No, that's sin. That's sin. All those things are caused by a sinful world that we live in. We serve a God who is ultimately kind and gracious and graceful, loves us so much that He bought your soul with a price. I don't know if you have kids or not, but I can't imagine watching my son go through what Jesus went through, knowing full well that most of the world wasn't going to even want the gift. Isn't that not heartbreaking? But He loved you so much. He was so kind and grace-filled that He purchased your freedom and your forgiveness. See, we all have a problem. We're all born with a problem. We've all done things wrong. We've all failed to obey God. And because of the sins that have separated us from God, we deserve death because the wages of our sin is death, Scripture teaches us. That the sins that we've committed deserve death. But by ourselves, we can do nothing to unite ourselves to God. But this is where Jesus comes in, right? Jesus is here to help because Jesus wasn't just man. Jesus wasn't just some guy that was born in Bethlehem and he lived a perfect life and yada, yada, yada. Okay, God's like, all right, you can be my son. You did a good job. You're the first person that could live perfectly. So come on, you can be my son. No, He was 100% man and 100% God, 100% the Son, the unique Son of God, because Jesus never disobeyed God. Jesus never sinned. Only He can bridge the gap between man and God, between a sinful God or a sinless God and a sinful man. So the solution is that Jesus has freely offered His life for us. He died on the cross in our place, taking all of our wrongdoing upon Himself, saving us from the consequences of sin, including God's judgment and death and wrath that we deserve. And the result for those who bow their knees before the Savior is forgiveness and grace. Unmerited favor. Even though you deserve none of it, I deserve none of it. Preaching this Sunday earns me 0 points in the grace category because grace is a free gift. It is a free gift. And Jesus takes your past and your present and your future sins upon Himself and offers you new life so that you can be forgiven for your wrongdoing and set free and reconciled before God. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the proof that this substitutionary sacrifice on the cross is the source of new life for all believers in who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that all who believe in Him can have new life, new hearts, new creature, life to the full, and hope for heaven. Don't you want to be on that side of the story? Isn't that the way that you want to respond to Easter morning? Isn't that the life that you want to live? Because let me tell you this, He is faithful. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let that sit there for a second, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that simple, friends, isn't it? It's that simple. But But we're people. We like to make lists. We like to say, okay, I got to do this, do this, do this, do this, and then maybe I'm going to earn heaven. No, no, no. It's a gift. It's a free gift of grace. So we confess our sins means we uncover it and we call it exactly what it is. It is sin. It is ugly. It is death. And we look our sin in the face and say, I don't need you. And we turn around and we run towards God. That's my prayer for you today, because what is the most important decision of your life? How you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can live a great life without Jesus Christ, but that's all you get is a great life. Nothing after that. But I pass this on to you as the most important thing that was ever passed on to me is that Christ died for your sins. Just as scripture predicted that he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as scripture said he would. And he was seen by Peter and seen by the 12 and then seen by another 500 of his followers all at one time. And they continue to declare he is alive, he is alive. As the worship team comes up, I ask you to join me in a word of prayer. And like I said at the beginning, these altars are wide open. I ask that you come and pray. This is your chance. Let's sing. Pray with me. Father God, we love you. We thank you so much for Easter morning and for victory, for Resurrection Sunday. That we are no longer who we were, and it is entirely hinged on you, victorious on Easter morning. Father God, I ask that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, that this be the day that they come to the altar and they bow before you and confess their sins to you and make you the Lord of their life. That this is the day that they say, okay, I've heard the story. I know the gospel. I know enough to know that God saves me and loves me no matter what. So I'm ready. I'm ready for freedom. We trust you, Lord Jesus. Amen.